Boker Tov, or whenever you're listening to this, happy Erev Shabbat. As many people know, I'm a bit of an optimist. I like looking at the positive in things, which brings us to the end of Sefer Vayikra, which ends with the Tochacha. And the Tochacha is a little bit hard, a little part of the Torah to listen to and to read. We even read it quietly in shul. The Torah, I guess, also likes to be a little bit optimistic as well, and I'll explain. The Torah actually ends twice. The end of the Tochacha and the end of Perek Chafav, it ends with the following pasuk: Ele ha'chukim ha'mishpatim v'atarot asher natan Hashem beino v'im b'nei Yisrael b'har Sinai b'yad Moshe. It sounds like a great ending pasuk to the whole Sefer Vayikra. These are the laws, the mishpatim, the Torah that Hashem gave between him and b'nei Yisrael and har Sinai b'yad Moshe. Great, but it doesn't end there, because then there's an entire Perek that starts talking about all kinds of charamim, erchin, all these different laws, which are laws of what happens if you vow to bring the value of a person or an animal or land to the Beit HaMikdash. And then the Torah ends again with a very similar pasuk. This is the actual last pasuk in the Torah. Eila mitzvot asher tziva Adonai et Moshe b'nei Yisrael b'har Sinai. These are the mitzvot that God commands Moshe on Har Sinai. So what's going on? Meaning it seems to end, and then it adds this other part, and then it ends again. So Rav Hirsch tries to answer that the Torah is actually trying to separate between what's essential, what's chayav, the mitzvot that we have to do, versus those which are voluntary. The last parak talks about, if you decide that you want to bring something to the Beit HaMikdash and you vow something to the Beit HaMikdash, so this is how much it's worth and how to, value it and how to redeem it. The only issue with that is that not everything in this last section is voluntary. It includes Maaser, for example. If you look at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, he's trying to suggest that it's just totally separated from the rest of Sefer Vayikra. But if you look at the Sefer Vayikra, the beginning lists many korbanot that are voluntary as well. Rav Shaviv suggests another possibility. He says if you look at all the last things that are mentioned, they're all related to speech. It's true, you have to physically take the Maaser, but it's done through speech, that you're the one that sets it aside. Harei zeh, Maaser sheni, etc. In order to make something hektish, or to give something, give hektish the value of something, we do it with our speech. And yet the Torah ends that even though we are the ones doing these things, still this is also part of the mitzvot asher tzivah Hashem et Moshe b'nei Yisrael. So perhaps that's one part of it as well. There's one more thing that appears over and over in this parak, and that's the idea of ge'ula. Now, here it's talking about if you made something hektish, if you said this thing is for the Beit HaMikdash, then you redeem it on money. But perhaps after listing all these terrible curses earlier, the Torah wants to end on a note of hope. At the end of the day, there is geula. Not only there is there geula, but perhaps it's also hinting that we need to bring it and that we can bring it with our actions and our speech. It's something that we are able to bring. The Ishbitzer in his Meshilach even shows how the number of psukim matches the number of psukim in the Tochacha, and he has a couple other calculations there, again to show that ultimately there is geula after all those klalot. As many have surely said, this week we celebrated Lag BaOmer when Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim stopped dying from the plague. So Be'ezrat Hashem, the plague going on in the world right now will also stop, and the geula will come as well through our actions and through our speech. Shabbat Shalom.